Chapter, and I'm going to give you about five things at the latter part of this chapter, and then we'll go to the house. Psalms 81, where we were at last Wednesday night. Psalms 81. The Bible says, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. No one start verse 8 down through 16. That's where I'm going to give you the thoughts this evening. The Bible says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts' lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. And I want to go back to the same text that we used on last Wednesday night, on a God that can be relied on. A God that can be relied on there in verse 10, where he said, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. He starts out there in verse 10. He said, I am the Lord thy God. That Lord with uppercase letters is Jehovah. And that word God, it comes from the word Elohim, which it means, if you tie them together, the self-existing strong one. I'm glad that we serve a God that's self-existing this evening. He don't need you. He don't need me. He don't need nobody. And I'm glad we serve a God that's a good God this evening. And just as he had appealed to Israel, and the first part of this psalm, the psalmist is talking about God that was their strength, and he talked about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, and he runs back through and refers and alludes to the feast of the tabernacle and different things there, the different feasts that they had that they used, and it was part of their worship at different times. And he goes on down through here and gives sort of a mini history of what God had done for them. And then he gets to verse 8 and he says, hear, O my people. And we see the charge to hear there in verses 8 and 9. We see the plea to hear the Word of God. And if you get to looking in the Bible, and I looked it up this afternoon, that word to hear and O Israel, hear, something of that reference occurs about 22 times in the Word of God. Hey, God is concerned about His people hearing what He has to say. I mean, He's given us this great Bible that we have, these 66 books, and we know that during the time of Israel, at the first of them, the Exodus up, they just had the Pentateuch, they just had the five books of Moses, and we've got the books that He's given us, and God is still concerned about you and I to hear. Hearing what He has to say. I believe the Bible tells us a wise man will hear and increase in learning. If we're going to ever hear and we're ever going to do anything for God, if we're going to ever accomplish anything, hey, we're going to have to hear what God has to say to us. So we see the charge to hear to His special people, Israel. And God was always concerned. If you'll read those Old Testament scriptures, God was always concerned about His people hearing. And he's still concerned about you and I to hear and today. Hey, but it's sad to say that a lot of people's not hearing what God has to say. A lot of times you get in a service, the man of God be preaching, and people are doing everything. They're distracted. They're not listening. They're talking. Hey, they're doing something else that keeps their attention, and they're not hearing very little of what God wants them to hear. And I believe we come to the house of God to hear a message preached, to hear from God, and to see what He has to say to us. And I'm glad this evening that we got a God that is concerned and wants us to hear what He has to say to us. And it's very disrespectful not to listen to the one that's speaking. And so we see a plea here to hear, but we see a plea to avoid some things there in verse 9. He said, "There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god." And we know that Israel, there's God led them out of Egypt. He gave them the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments was to have no other gods before them. And we know that even before they got started good in that wilderness journey, hey, we know the story of how Moses went up on the mount, and when he come back down, he heard the singing and the stuff that was going on, that Aaron had made him a golden calf, and he just made out like they brought him to gold. They wanted a god, and he threw it in, and that calf come out. And we find them already going against the word of God and not listening to what God said to him. And we know that God would have did anything for His children. I mean, they were His special people. He brought them out of Egypt. He was carrying them to a place there in Canaan, hey, where they were going to inhabit land and houses that they didn't build, and eat from vineyards that they didn't plant. But yet we see even the goodness of God, hey, that they experienced, that God would, that Israel would not listen to what God had for them. For them in their lives. So we see the charge to hear there in verses 8 and 9. Then we see the second thing, the challenge to believe there in verse 10 again. He said, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." We see the promise that He gave them to them. He told them, He said, if you'll open your mouth, just like the little birds that hatch out into eggs, and their mamas come to feed them. When that mother bird comes, and that daddy bird, the male and the female that takes care of the young, they bring the food into the little birds there that hatches out. Them little birds open their mouth wide, and they're ready for whatever their parents have to give them. Hey, that's what God is telling Israel. He said, open your mouth and I'll fill it. I'll meet your needs, whatever that need might be. If you'll just trust me, if you'll believe in me, if you'll open your mouth, I'll meet your needs. So many times we don't believe God. Hey, that He'll meet our needs today. We've got needs here at this church. And yet, I'm afraid that we really, really and truly, hey, if we search our hearts, we really don't believe that God's going to do what we need. I said, truly and really, we don't believe that God's going to do what we need. I mean, if we're praying and we're asking anything according to the will of God, He said He'd do it if we ask it in the will of God. But so many times when we pray, we really don't believe. We don't believe that God can fill His church up. In reality, if we believed that, I believe we would be about God's business. We would be working. We would be trying to get people to come to the house of God. Hey, we would stay in our place, and we would try to be what God wants us to be. If we really believe. The challenge to believe. Hey, the same God that told Israel here to open their mouth and I'll fill it, hey, the same God's in control today, and the same God that told them that is telling you and I that this evening. But yet, so many times we try to handle our situation. So many times we try to get ahead of God instead of letting Him accomplish and do what He's wanting to do. We don't understand things sometimes. We've been here going on 7 years, and you know, hey, we've expected to see some things, and they've not happened the way we thought we would see them. The challenge to believe. The promise that He gave, open thy mouth and I'll fill it. I believe God wants to do something for His people today, just as much as He wanted to do for the children of Israel. But we're living in a sick society today, and I understand that. But God is still the same. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said over there in Malachi, I said, "You sons of Jacob, I'm the Lord God, and I change not." Hey, He wouldn't do for one generation what He won't do for another generation. And just as sure as He took care of the children of Israel as they wandered there in the wilderness for those 40 years, hey, He'll take care of yours and my needs this season. He'll take care of the needs of this church. If we'll just really trust in Him, if we'll do our part and yield our lives to Him and yield the situation to Him this evening, I believe He's the same God and He wants to accomplish in our lives what He's done in people's lives in past times. If we'll do what He tells us to do. I believe if we'll support missions and we'll be a part of missions and we'll preach the gospel and if we'll witness, if we'll be soul winners, hey, I believe God will give us some results. I believe He'll give us some souls for the labor. We'll never know till we get to heaven, hey, what our mission programs have accomplished. Hey, we send the money to the board, and the board sends it to those individuals. They send us letters. They tell us what's going on. Hey, but in reality, we can't see the whole big picture, and we don't know what God's accomplishing. Brother Bert Chan and them over there in the Philippines. Hey, we hear every once in a while from, we get letters from the Santa Brias. Hey, we get letters from the Hill family and others that are in those special places of ministry where God has called them to be. But we'll never know. God's supply. They're trusting God. As He's told the children of Israel here, He said, open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. Hey, they're trusting God to meet their needs there on the field. And we need to trust God here in the United States where we're at, here on the side of Hog Mountain Road to move and send revival. And that's what we need today is revival. We need a reviving in our land. We need a reviving in our homes. We need a reviving in our churches. The challenge to believe. And then number three, I see in verses 11 and 12, the corruption among God's people. The corruption among God's people. His warnings we find here in these two verses of Scripture. Hey, we find His warnings were rejected. We find also that His promises had been forgotten. I mean, the children of Israel, they had come through that wilderness for 40. Can you imagine people following Moses around through that wilderness all those years there and seeing the hand of God, seeing the quail come flying in, seeing the manna fall from heaven every day? Hey, looking at their shoes, they haven't wore out. Their clothes have not wore out, and yet they've been provided for. They've not missed a meal, and yet we find them that His promises that He promised them to take care of had been forgotten. How soon we forget. His promises had been forgotten. His precepts had been disregarded. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing. We're all made of the same stuff from Adam all the way down. We're living in a day, though, when people are just a little bit more refined, but they're still made of the same stuff. They really don't believe God. Look at this nation that was hewn out of a wilderness. Those pilgrims come over seeking a place of freedom, of worship. Hey, they come to this land and landed up there on Plymouth Rock, and a lot of them died that first winter here. Hey, but God, through the natives there, that was the Indians, hey, helped them and brought them through the winter. He used an educated Indian. I think by the name of Squanto, that had been educated to help those pilgrims. Now, if that ain't God, how did a heathen Indian get to England and get educated and put back here in America right at the right time for such a time as that? Probably all of them died if it hadn't been for him. Probably. I don't know. God can take care of them. He uses different means. But they come here for worship. They come here for freedom of worship, to worship according to the dictate of the Word of God. And they come, the best I can find out, with a King James Bible. That 1611 old Elizabethan English Bible. We couldn't probably even read one. We talk about we got 1611, but we don't have a 1611 per se. Hey, it's not been retranslated. It's just been, the words have been updated to the point that we can understand them. But if that ain't God, I don't know what is. The corruption among God's people. His warnings were neglected. His promises were forgotten. His precepts were disregarded. And can I say this evening, hey, that the precepts of God are being disregarded today, hey, more than ever before? Our country's in a mess. Our kids are confused. We're promoting everything that God's against. The killing of babies. I mean, it's a big thing today. It's a big thing. They've done had a taste of Roe versus Wade, and they ain't going to do away with it. Probably. Unless we see a revival in this land. These homosexuals have come out of the closet, and they ain't going back in. And they're after your children and your grandchildren. They're wanting to confuse little fellas like Mason there, but I'm going to tell you, hey, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from him. Hey, you teach that young man there that he's a little boy, and you hammer that in him about what the Word of God says, and you get him saved, he'll always be a little boy. He won't be confused about that. I read a story today about that young man up yonder, and I forget what state it was. But they charged him, the school charged him with a sexual harassment. Fine looking young man. Probably wasn't involved in a lot of things, but he just didn't use them or they. And they charged him with sexual harassment. He's worried about, that little feller was worried about that going on his record and affecting his life out yonder in the future about going to college or somewhere. A sexual harassment charge is a pretty hard charge against you. That's where we're at. That young man ain't done nothing to nobody. He just used the wrong word. Probably called them a him or a she, which they probably were. It don't matter what they do, they still are what they are. They can have operations, do what they want to. You run their DNA, they're still a male or a female. They are what God made them to be. I want, lest you get caught up in this kind of stuff and all this political correctness, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. This is a precept of God. Romans chapter 1, this is New Testament. It's New Testament. And I'm going to mention this in just a minute. And then I'm about done. Verse 28 of chapter 1. Let's go to 25 of chapter 1 of Romans. The Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, hey, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. That word, give up and give over, is the same word. I looked that up today when I was looking at this. Verse 29 said, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That's a pretty good list of individuals. And they've been given over to a reprobate mind. That reprobate mind is a reprobate, is someone, a mind that's gone to pieces. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That verse 32 has got us. It's got our nation. These politicians that's having pleasure in them that are doing such things, they're guilty. They're just as guilty as they are. He said, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They're legalizing all this stuff. They're trying to make everybody be politically correct, to recognize individuals as them or theys, and not what they are. The corruption among God's people. Promises forgotten, precepts disregarded. Punishment that was severe. Verse 11. The Bible says, so I gave them up. God's been giving people up down through the times that went against His Word, that went against His precept. Hey, that didn't trust in His promises. I didn't say it. God said it. So I gave them up. They turned aside. The corruption among God's people. And then, fourthly, the cure that was imposed, verses 13 to 14. The Bible said, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. So we see the cure that was imposed upon them. They could have had that cure. They could have had that cure. There was protection that was promised to the children of Israel there. Can I say this evening, hey, there's protection promised to you and I if we'll live for God, if we'll do what's right, if we'll stand for what's right in this wicked, perverted world that we're living in. The protection that was promised. And then the provision that was missed there in verse 13. He said, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. When Israel was walking with God, they were doing what was right. They were keeping His precepts. They were keeping His law. Hey, God took care of them. He chased their enemies away with hornets. They wasn't a battle. Every battle you look at that Israel lost, it was because of their own self-inflicted things in their life. They wasn't believing God. They wasn't doing it the way God said to do it. They took it upon themselves to handle the things. And then fifthly and lastly, we see the course that should have been followed. Verses 15 and 16. And I'm done. The haters of God should have submitted themselves unto Him. But their time should have endured forever. Hey, those that hated God, they should have followed God. They should have been what God wanted it to be. Hey, it may have been hypocritical. Hey, but they would have got the attention of those that was around them. That's what one writer said. The course that should have been followed. We see the people would have been firmly established and their prosperity would have been stable. Nothing confirms a state or a church like holiness. If we be firm in obedience, we shall be firm in happiness. If we be firm in obedience, we shall be firm in happiness. Righteousness establisheth, sin ruins. Righteousness establishes, but sin ruins. You know what's wrong with our churches today? They're not established in righteousness, a lot of them. We've allowed sin to get in our lives and we've overlooked it and we're in a mess. So, the course that should have been followed. Verse 16, he said, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? Hey, if they'd have followed the Lord the way that they should have, if they'd have took the right course, God would have given them the best that there was. But we're so many times, we're living on such a lower plateau in our Christian walk than what we should. We're not enjoying the blessings of God because of the sin that's in our lives, the sin that's crept into our land. Hey, everybody's messed up. Not everybody, but most of this world's confused or messed up. There's no joy. There's no happiness much anymore. I tell you what, I dread it for our kids, our children's children, and their children. If Jesus tarries his coming, and I believe he could come before we get out here tonight. If he don't come for 10 years, that's still a short time. I believe it's going to be before then. I hope it's going to be before then. But I'm going to tell you, I feel for our kids. And it's because of a generation that's turned their back on God and that spit in the face of God, and we're in a mess. We're in a mess. If there's ever been time we need revival and to turn back to God, it's today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Thank you for these that have gathered. Lord, I pray that you just bless each one. Lord, I pray that we can go home with and be encouraged, Lord, to go on for you. Meet back with us Sunday. Lord, give us a great day Sunday. Lord, we'd love to see this house filled up. Lord, we know you could fill it up. God, I pray that even if you don't fill it up, most of all, we want the presence and the power of God in our lives and in this place. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.